101, part two. And today, it's going to be me, Brett, interviewing the older wrestling bro, Alex.
That's right. You don't want to miss it. So shut up and sit down for this time, because it's time to go to school with the wrestling bros. And it's time to learn about me, Alex.
Shut up and sit down.
So now that our whatever listeners we've gained or will gain out there have gotten to know a little bit more about me, it's time for them to get to know a little bit more about you, Alex. So I've got my own set of questions, five for you.
All right. Sounds good. I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, let's get to it. Just for some perspective here, Alex, how old are you and how long have you been watching wrestling?
Well, you're putting me on the spot right away, are you? Well, I am 37 years old. I'll be 38 in September, and I've been watching wrestling since I've been about 5 years old. So, late 80s. I guess, late 80s, the era of Hulk Hogan and the Junkyard Dog versus Roddy Piper, the rock and wrestling era.
Yeah, the rock and wrestling, see, you remember that better than I do because
I do.
You're a few years ahead of me.
Just a few.
So, now that we know how long you've been watching the product, what is your first wrestling memory, or how did you start watching that you first remember?
Oh, gosh. I think my first memory of watching wrestling was with Dad. I must have been about 5 years old. It was a Saturday morning watching it. I'm not sure where I was, but I remember watching it with my father. You remember the old Hulk Hogan cartoon?
Yeah, I do.
So I remember watching that, and it would play in between matches on Saturday morning wrestling with the WWF. And I must have been like five or so, and I remember watching the wrestling cartoon and really liking that, but not really paying attention to the actual live action wrestling because, you know, I was five, and it didn't make much entertainment for me. But I remember getting into an argument with my father because he would want to change the channel during the cartoon, and I would want to change the channel during the actual wrestling. But he was pretty much the only influence I have when it came to reason I watched wrestling. He watched wrestling, and therefore I watched wrestling. I don't think I had any other influences in my life at that time. I think I was kind of an influence for you even. I know Dad got you to watch wrestling as well. I know your sister got you wrestling first, but I know Dad and I got you watching wrestling as well, right?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of memories I have of all three of us watching together.
Yeah.
Once we both had started watching and both knew the product.
I have fond memories of Dad taking us in the backyard and wrestling with us and, like, picking us up for, like, big moves and, like, gently setting us down and, like, boom!
Oh, speaking of, when we used to wrestle around, like, and stuff like that, we were good with gently with getting gently sent down and stuff. Do you remember? I happen to remember that one time that I think it was he. I don't can't remember if it was you or Dad, but one of you actually gave me the razor's edge.
That was
and
Dad.
I actually landed wrong. And
oh, landed actually, wrong.
Yeah, and because I remember like smashing into the floor and being like, actually, ow, that hurt.
Yeah, I don't think I actually ever gave you the razor's edge. The worst thing I ever did to you was giving you the figure four. but no, my first memory was like with that, and my fond memories were with wrestling with you and Dad in the backyard or in the living room or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, and just for anybody out there that's curious, the figure four leg lock hurts no matter what side of it you're on.
It's true. It's true.
So, now that we've gotten those memories to get flowing, I've got to ask you, Alex.
Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite wrestlers? What are your favorite moments throughout your time watching and the different eras that you grew up through?
You're making me dig back far, huh? Mm-hmm. So I guess, like most kids watching wrestling during the 80s, I was a Hulkamaniac. I loved Hulk Hogan. He was the huge wrestling part of pop culture back then. But that didn't last long. My first strong memory of having a favorite wrestler was during probably the 1993, because I remember watching my first ever wrestling pay-per-view, the 93 Royal Rumble. And in the main event, it was Bret Hart defending his title against some new guy that I didn't know much about, Razor Ramon. I don't know if it was his accent or the gold around his neck or the flashy tights or the big man moves. Like, he could do some pretty awesome moves. But I thought he was the coolest wrestler ever. Yeah,
we just spoke about Razor's Edge there.
Yeah, the Razor's Edge was amazing. And even though he was a bad guy, the bad guy, to be exact, and, you know, even though he didn't win that match, that's what started me to really follow him. My love for his work in the WWE grew even more when he turned babyface and feuded with Shawn Michaels and Diesel. They had some amazing matches that, and him, so Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, and Diesel were the best thing about wrestling in the early 90s, for me anyway. I mean, yeah, Bret Hart was great too, and so was The Undertaker, but Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, and Diesel for me was the best part. In the late 90s, I still followed Scott Hall and Kevin Nash when they went to WCW. But my favorite promotion was still World Wrestling Federation or Entertainment, however you want to say it now. So in the mid to late 90s, I really started to like Hunter Hearst Helmsley in the mid-card scene. I don't know why. I really latch on to wrestlers when they're mid-card wrestlers. When I don't really latch on to anyone who starts off as a main eventer, you know? And then Hunter Hearst Helmsley had some pretty great feuds. I remember his match with Henry Godwin and the Hog Slot, the pig. What was the name of that match?
The Hog Pen Match.
Hog Pen Match. Thank you.
I'm sure that's one of Triple H's not so great memories in his career.
Yeah, I don't know what about him made me like him, but I liked him and I followed him a lot. And then when he got a bit of a push and joined forces with Shawn Michaels to eventually form DX, that was a magical time. I was a huge fan of DX. I loved everything they did. I mean, my favorite color is neon green before DX even became a thing. So that was like fate, right?
Yeah. I remember how much we both loved DX, because you had that inexplicable like for Triple H from the beginning, which I didn't really have that like for Triple H, but I did have that like for Shawn Michaels. So when DX was first starting up and they started to push Triple H up a little more, and then he started him and China started associating with Shawn, I think both of us took notice there.
Yeah, it was like Wonder Twin Powers activate, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff. And you know how I love villains, you know, and I love horror movies. So Kane was a huge draw for me. When they first brought Kane in, I loved that he had a very Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers feel to him. I loved the look to him, the overall aesthetic. I loved how he would just appear with the pyro and the music and lay waste to the locker room or whoever happened to be in the ring or on the entrance ramp. It was fantastic. In that era, I also was a big fan of the Intercontinental Champion Rock. The Rock, when he was the IC Champion. Back when he was in the Nation of Domination, when he won the IC title and he was a heel, and the IC title was purple back then. And he had so much mic time. The charisma just oozed from him before he turned face, you know, was a magical time. And the feud that the Nation had with DX when it was the two headliners for both stables, The Rock and Triple H, was amazing stuff.
I agree.
That part was my favorite part of the Attitude Era. Do you remember the skit they did with Jason Sensation?
Oh my God, I remember the first time that I watched that. I think I rewound it on the VHS tape over and over and over again, because it was just so fucking hilarious. I know that DX really was WWE or WWF's response to WCW's NWO.
Yeah.
But they were
they
were definitely different than the NWO in specific ways.
Although, I just remember that Triple H dressed up like The Rock, calling himself The Croc. And my favorite bit was, you know, with the ladies, when the Croc hits rock bottom, he has to lay the smack down on himself.
Road Dogg as Beto.
Yep.
And then he says, "Yeah, you hear that? The brother smacks himself down."
Shut up!
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. That's a great memory of my own that you've just made me remember.
Continuing on, though, I was also a huge fan of the... This is kind of moving kind of beyond the Attitude Era, but I was a huge fan of the... The Tag Team Revolution with Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys and the Dudleys. I love their classic tables matches and TLC matches. I was also a huge fan of the Ministry of Darkness. Just evil, evil, satanic Undertaker and his huge stable of gothic, you know, wrestlers. It was just a great time for wrestling.
It really was. I agree with you there. In that iteration of The Undertaker was quite entertaining. I even remember when they actually had him in story admit to burning down the funeral home and being the one who killed he and Kane's parents. And
yeah. I always loved kind of the larger than life angles they did when they did them right, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of what's why that makes me love Bray Wyatt so much and all of the things he can do, you know? So moving past that into the Ruthless Aggression era, I still loved watching Triple H. He became my main favorite wrestler, especially as Evolution came around and the introduction of Ric Flair, Randy Orton, and Batista. One that may surprise you is I really liked Carlito when he first arrived in the WWE. Back when he was called Carlito Caribbean Cool, and like spit apples in people's faces.
Yeah,
he was fantastic.
I remember when
kind of like a forgotten gem.
They had all the vignettes leading up to it, and then I think it was the United States title he won first when he first showed up on his first night against John Cena. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
And to me, that character kind of harkened back and resembled to, you know, kind of a Razor Ramon type character.
That's kind of like I like why I liked him so much. Yeah, definitely. He was fantastic. Nowadays, beyond the Ruthless Aggression era, nowadays, I think my favorite wrestler has got to be Bray Wyatt. I was a huge fan of him before he became The Fiend, back when just the Wyatt family came in. A fan of him and the Wyatt family and The Shield before Roman Reigns got his stupid push.
Yeah.
And now with Bray Wyatt as The Fiend, oh my goodness. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it goes to show Bray's talent for being able to reinvent himself some more.
Oh, definitely.
Get himself over after WWE ruined it the first time.
Some honorable mentions for me also. Chris Jericho, throughout his entire career, has been huge. Right now, the women's division is amazing. Probably the best thing that's on WWE TV right now. The only thing that's working for them for the most part. And on AEW, my biggest things that I like so much in AEW is MJF and Wardlow. MJF is an amazing talent in the ring, on the mic. Wardlow does a great job. And they just remind me of Shawn Michaels and Diesel back in the day. Heel Shawn Michaels and Diesel. It gives me such nostalgia. I also am a big fan of Jon Moxley and Brody Lee. They had an amazing match at the last pay-per-view. I love the Dark Order because, as you can see, a theme here? I love big dark stables. I love heels. I love villains. So,
yeah, and you've always been that way. Even when we were younger, you just, even before you realized that everything was a work, you just gravitated towards the bad guys.
I don't know why. It's the same with, like, movies, like comic books, pretty much everything. If there's a villain that's cool and likable, they're going to be my favorite character. They're going to be my focal point. Like, I love Batman villains. Batman himself, meh. But his rogues gallery, oh my god. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Bad guys and stuff, if they're cool, it's done. The hero can go home.
Yeah. I think you were probably one of the few wrestling fans back in the day that, you know, liked heels and bad guys before it was cool.
Just
before it was the common thing to do just because it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. It answers a lot. That's what I wanted. I wanted to get a lot of information out of you there. So, yeah. People could get your thoughts on all that. And since we've gone through all that, now I've got to ask you again to think of and this is going to be a tough one, I'm sure.
Oh boy.
But just think about it for a minute if you have to.
All right.
If you had to pick one performer all time, doesn't matter what era, doesn't matter if they have passed away or not. If you had to pick one name, who would you say is your favorite of all time?
Oh, man. One guy? Oh, that's pretty much impossible, Brett. I don't know.
It wasn't impossible for me. Shawn Michaels is my all-time favorite.
Yeah. Can I narrow it down to three? I don't think I can. All right. So if I can narrow it down to three, I know that's kind of cheating, but I can't do it any other way. And they're all from three different eras. So if that justifies it, I'm happy with that.
Okay. I'll let you slide on this one.
Okay. Thank you. So it would be a three-way tie between Scott Hall as Razor Ramon, Triple H, and Bray Wyatt. I don't think he'd choose between those three. Razor Ramon. So I liked Scott Hall in WCW in the NWO, but it wasn't the same as him being Razor Ramon. There was just something magical about him portraying that character. Triple H, yes, for me.
Good job.
Yeah. Triple H for me, probably the best. Either when he was the face leader of DX or when he was the game, when he first became the game before the Motorhead theme. Back when he had.
When he still had the theme he shared with China.
The My Time theme. Who's sleeping with who?
I love that. That was. I remember how upset I was when they first changed it.
A quick shout out to another era, or not era, but angle that I really loved that not many people loved that much. I loved the what the hell do they call it? The when Austin and Triple H were a tag team.
Oh, the two-man power trip?
The power trip, yes. I could not get enough of the two-man power trip and was very sad to see it end as quickly as it did when Triple H had his famous quad injury in the TLC match against Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho.
Which was, I do remember that was not only an amazing match, but it's amazing that Triple H was able to even finish that match.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's fantastic. But I love the two-man power drop. And then with Bray Wyatt, Bray Wyatt is an amazing, just amazing genius mind for wrestling. For character adaptation, for just the things that he gets past a WWE creative is fantastic. Can you imagine if he was given the opportunity to just run with every idea he had, how amazing it would be? Not to mention he's great in the ring. He has
proven he's very good in the ring. Even before his unveiling as the Fiend and his reinvention there, through all his Wyatt family days, despite creative always giving him the L in the end, he proved that he can go in the ring.
Yeah. I think my favorite match with Bray Wyatt was when he fought Daniel Bryan. I don't remember what event it was, but it was when Daniel Bryan was pretending to be a member of the Wyatt family. And it's when the first time Bray Wyatt did the upside down crawling from the corner. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, was that the cage match on Raw?
I think it was a pay-per-view match, but I'm not positive.
Because there's I remember that Daniel Bryan for a little bit was pretending to be in the Wyatt family, obviously, mm-hmm. and I think it was a Monday Night Raw when he decided to unveil that he was actually tricking them or whatever, and that's when like the roof blew off the building for the Yes Movement to begin.
Right. Right. I have to do some research on it because I don't remember exactly, but I just remember that match was fantastic. So
yeah. And that's another thing too. When it comes to Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan, you know, Daniel Bryan is not only very talented in the ring as well, but he also has a great mind for wrestling storytelling and character work and story work. So any work between Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan that they've done, which they've done a lot between the regular Wyatt family stuff, and then they had their little feud as the Fiend with their, everything they've done together has been phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's one more person that I have to say who was one of my favorites, but since he had such little time to really showcase himself, he kind of didn't make it to my list of three, and that's CM Punk.
Yeah, CM Punk is, or at least was when he was wrestling, he was my favorite wrestler of the time that he was wrestling in, like, you know, 2011, Money in the Bank, John Cena,
yeah,
Pipe Bomb, that all that deal. That,
yeah, ever since his era with as the Straight Edge Messiah and the Straight Edge Society, he was something that I did not miss when I watched wrestling, you know. And it's a shame that he never really got to do a really awesome angle with Bray Wyatt, because that would have been fucking gold.
Yeah, I agree. That would have been quite the spectacle.
So, yeah, I can't pick one, but those are the ones that I love the most out of all of wrestling that I've watched since the early 80s.
All right, Alex. Now we've gotten to the final question, and I saved the biggest question for last. So I
hope, oh, boy.
What do you think of the product we know and love growing up with and watch versus the product we're getting now in 2020? And considering that, with the arrival of AEW, do you see a kind of light at the end of the tunnel for the boring, no competition WWE, or a resurgence of a better wrestling product now that some competition for WWE has finally come along after 20 years?
Well, starting off, there have been points in my time of watching wrestling where I have been so disinterested or just unhappy with the product that I stopped watching wrestling for extended periods of time. You know, maybe watching the pay-per-view or a WrestleMania or a Royal Rumble here and there. I think the first time I actually stopped watching wrestling was, I don't remember which WrestleMania was, but when they finally had John Cena face Triple H for the world title. And John Cena, with his crappy STFU,
that wasn't even correctly applied, if I remember right.
not even correctly replied. He made Triple H tap out, which was the last straw. I was really starting to hate having Cena shoved down my throat. I can see that that can be kind of hypocritical because Triple H was kind of shoved down everyone's throats as a heel, but he was my favorite wrestler, so I was biased toward that. But when Cena was Super Cena and he was beating everyone, even though people who were more talented and more entertaining than him were...
Not to mention beating people with a improperly applied submission hold that wasn't believable.
So this might be a gripe for another video, but here's my problem with the STF from John Cena. He locks it in, and what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to pull back on the opponent's head, right, and neck. That's where the torque comes in. But John Cena doesn't do that. He locks his hands together, and from my perspective, all he does is squeezes your cheeks with his forearms and wrists. That's all he does. It looks horrible. John Cena is not a technical wrestler. He's not a submission wrestler. Triple H, on the other hand, half of his repertoire is technical wrestling. He has many submission moves in his bag of tricks. And for him to tap out to this stupid move by John Cena, that was the first time I tapped out and said, no, I'm not watching this shit anymore. And I stopped watching wrestling for a while. And I eventually came back to it. I don't remember exactly when I came back to it. But there have been times where I have stopped watching wrestling because the product was just not grabbing me. And, you know, it has been 6 months since I've been watching this current wrestling product now. I stopped watching wrestling for a while. This is not because of the John Cena and Triple H thing. That was in the past. But, you know, things happen in life. You know, you grow up, you have more responsibilities. Things kind of fall to the wayside. Sometimes wrestling is just a guilty pleasure, and you know we don't have time for it. Unfortunately, I have been a diehard fan most of my life, but sometimes I'm not. You know, I hope I don't get crucified for saying that. But
I don't think you should be crucified for saying that, because I completely identify with you on that. There's been plenty of periods of time in my life where I stopped watching wrestling myself because it just wasn't entertaining anymore. And eventually, one of the things that I realized was that the only way they were ever really going to change is if you were telling them or trying to get your opinions out there to them so that they knew what people actually thought. Yeah. And even then, they don't like to, or I should say more specifically, Vince McMahon does not like to listen to fans.
It's true. It's very true. I think more than once I was drawn back into watching wrestling because of Bray Wyatt. And this most recent time, I was drawn back in because Bray Wyatt came back from the brink of ruin again, reinvented himself again as the Fiend, and that's when I started watching again. And so, as of right now, as of June 11th, 2020, I am not impressed with the product that WWE is producing. They screwed over the Fiend by making him lose to Goldberg, and then they had him do a great job at WrestleMania with the Firefly Funhouse match against John Cena, which was fantastic. But yes, then, you know, they're not really doing anything right now with him, unfortunately. And I'm looking forward to him hopefully being back on Backlash and beating the crap out of Braun Strowman. But well, that's neither here nor there. Just when I think that WWE programming is doing something good and it's refreshing, they do something stupid. And so...
Yeah, I kind of get what you mean. Like you're saying, just when you think, oh, they are actually doing something good or different, and then they just do something to screw it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like people call it, I've heard people refer to that whole phenomenon as, oh, they just did the WWE thing.
Yeah. So like I was saying before, the good things about WWE right now, the women's division, the four horsewomen. I know not a lot of people are fans of Charlotte, but I am a fan of Charlotte. Becky Lynch, Sasha, Bayley, along with Asuka. I love Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. You know, the whole women's division right now, especially this past Raw, where Raw started with the women's division and it main evented with the women's division. Just fantastic stuff.
I would have to agree with you on that. The women's wrestling,
yeah,
is quite, it's pretty much like you said earlier, one of the only things that's really working for them right now in terms of actually being entertaining.
But as comparing now to old school wrestling, my childhood wrestling, you know, nostalgia is just that, nostalgia. It's got a tinted, you know, a tinted view on things. It's always
going to color glasses.
Like, exactly. Rose-colored glasses. It's always going to seem much better than it was. But even with that, the product now is not anywhere near as good as it used to be. That could just be the rose-colored glasses talking, but we'll see. As for AEW, every episode of AEW Dynamite is like a breath of fresh air. It's a new breath of life into wrestling right now. It's got that kind of classic WCW feel, you know, the classic WCW feel, like Diamond Dallas Page fighting Booker T for the US title, or Rey Mysterio fighting Dean Malenko for the Cruiserweight title. That great, great WCW stuff. You're not even talking about the NWO, you know? Stuff outside the NWO that drew you in, that was gorgeous and beautiful. AEW is that same kind of life breathing into wrestling. And so, yeah, it's definitely the shining light of hope at the end of the tunnel. It's something else besides Vince McMahon's shit, you know?
Yep. Something outside Vince McMahon's bubble. Something different than WWE. Because all we've had for years is nothing but a WWE product until a year ago.
It's giving life, new life to the sport, quote-unquote sport. And it's palatable again, but we'll see how things go. If the pandemic goes away and they get fans back in, we'll see. But yeah, I'm sorry. Did that answer your question? I can't remember exactly what the question was anymore.
Yeah, I think you got that covered pretty well. That was a pretty eloquent answer.
Thank you.
I think you gave very valid points of view. And I am very intrigued by that point of view, and I would tend to agree. WWE needs that competition.
It does, honestly. Really does.
And do it without any competition.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
They tried to create competition from within by doing the brain split over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was first, it was successful in its first iteration in creating brand split there. Yeah, it was successful in its first iteration of creating stars, I believe, anyway. Because you had on SmackDown, you had guys like, as much as I hated him at the time, JBL and Batista and John Cena and Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. And so, yeah, the first version of the brand split and that concept, I think, was working for them until it didn't anymore.
Yeah, it definitely gave SmackDown a different identity. It was, SmackDown was still kind of a lesser show, but it was different, and it was good, you know?
And it was also the only show they had, I believe, at the time that was on a channel that wasn't cable TV. So if you didn't have cable, you could still catch it with an antenna, you know?
Yeah.
So, where you're coming from on that. But I think after the first version of the brand split, they just kept fucking it up over and over and over, and eventually it got old. So now they finally have had and have competition in AEW for the past year. Hopefully they are going to be able to up their game some more. As we've said, they're doing phenomenal with their women's division, and they do have the best women's division in the world right now.
They do, yeah.
They just need to use them all correctly and have good creative.
Yeah, that's the big problem, is the creative. But I think I think we answered some good questions. I think we gave the fans some little insight into my history with the world of professional wrestling since I was a child until now. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah. I think that by now, if they're still listening, then they probably know us a lot better than they did when they listened to our first podcast.
Again, I want to thank everyone for listening and bearing with us, because we still have primitive editing and recording hardware and software. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for liking, commenting, and subscribing. Please follow us at Twitter at Bros, B-R-O-S, _ wrestling.
Yes. The Wrestling Bros. Like, share, subscribe. Do whatever you can to get the word out there. Because, again, all we want to do is help get our opinions out there so maybe the right people can hear them and we get a better product. That's all we want.
We want to support the wrestling community and make wrestling better.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys. This has been Wrestling Bros 101, Get to Know Your Podcasters, Part 2, Getting to Know Alex. We'll be posting more content later on in the week. Keep an eye out for it. Until then, school's out. Thank you.